You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. As always, I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now. Got some good stuff to talk about that's going on in the sports world, but you all know how it is. You know how it goes. Before I get into my sports talk, I got to start the show off with something, and let's start this thing off on a serious note, shall we? The Minneapolis police officer who knelt down on George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes last year was found guilty Tuesday of all three charges against him in one of the most consequential trials of this era of Black Lives Matter. Now, the officer, Derek Chauvin, who's 45 years old, he was convicted of second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. The jurors in the case actually deliberated for more than 10 hours over 2 days before coming to their decision. This is huge for the Black community, y'all. This is huge. This is major. I was sitting there looking at CNN when they first came out with the announcement that the jurors had reached a verdict and that it would be announced at 4:30, my heart immediately dropped and I began to pray. You know, I said, you know what, God, just please help justice be served. We have no idea what, you know, the Floyd family has been going through this time, and they need justice in this situation. And I really, really was hoping and praying that this thing would turn and work out in their favor and that we would get a guilty verdict. I prayed about it, man. I went to the gym. I was like, OK, they're announcing at 4:30. So it was about 3:45. I rushed to the gym, got through my workout. I was looking at it. Actually, they had it on the TV in the gym as well. So I was kind of looking at that. I turned it on my phone so I could hear what they were talking about as they were waiting for the judge to come out. By this time, I had finished my workout. And during that time, they were, you know, interviewing George Floyd's girlfriend. They were talking about his father, how he was, what he said before going into the courtroom. It was a lot going on. So I hurried up and I got home, and it had reached 4:30, but they hadn't said anything yet. The judge hadn't come out yet. So some time passed, and it was growing anxious. And I'm pretty sure all of you listening right now can attest to the fact that we were all growing anxious to hear this verdict. So the judge finally came out, man, and he said the first one guilty. I said, thank you, Lord. That second one, I was like, wow, okay. I was like, thank you, thank you. That third one, man, I yelled, man, in my apartment. It was a great feeling. And I can't lie to you guys, man, I legit shed some real tears just looking at the reactions on everyone's face and the relief on George Floyd's family's faces. It brought tears to my eyes, and I know I'm not the only one, man. It was unexplainable, man. Words can't express how much relief you have. And obviously we have to realize and recognize that this is still tough for the Floyd family, man. This is while there is relief in everything, there is still some, you know, grieving and sadness because they don't have him here anymore. But he's here with them in spirit, and I know that they can at least rest a little better now, knowing that they did receive justice, man. So obviously we have a long way to go. We saw what just happened in Ohio, yet another situation where a young Black kid was taken from us, man. And it's sad, and we have to do better. And hopefully that this verdict is going to continue to just propel us in the right direction. And this is huge, especially seeing all of the trials that happened and where officers were acquitted, and those cases right now that still have not gone to trial. So all we can do is continue to hope and pray. But I do think that this was a step in the right direction for us. And, you know, thoughts and prayers continue to go out for George Floyd and his family. And last but not least, man, rest in peace, George Floyd, man. And that was huge. But with that being said, man, let's jump into our sports topics, man. So let's talk about a wide receiver prospect heading into the draft that people are having some questions about. That wide receiver I'm talking about is Devontae Smith, a.k.a. Smitty, a.k.a. the Slim Reaper, my boy out of Alabama, Roll Tide. A lot has been circulating around Devontae Smith's size. And that it's a concern going into the NFL draft. So is Devontae Smith's size really a concern heading into the NFL draft? For me, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. I mean, let's just take a step back. I know, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, he's so small, X, Y, and Z. Yes, Devontae Smith, he measured at 6'1". And he weighed 166 pounds at the medical check in Indianapolis. So it was actually said that he was 175 pounds or 170 or 175 pounds initially. But he actually weighed in lower than that, which obviously is going to bring some more doubt in regards to his size. He does run a 4.49 in the 40. Now, let's talk about Devontae Smith's production, despite being undersized at the wide receiver position. Let's talk about what he did at Alabama. So Devontae Smith broke 8 records in Alabama's national championship season last year. 8 records. I'm going to read those records to you guys. So first, he broke the record for receptions in a college football championship game with 12 catches. This was done by halftime. 2, he broke the record for receiving touchdowns in a college football championship game with 3 in the first half. 3, he broke the record for receiving yards in a half of a national championship game with 215 yards. 4, he broke the record for 2-game receiving yards in a college football playoff with 345 yards. 5, he tied Zeke with 6 total touchdowns in the college football playoff. 6, he set the SEC single season receiving record with 1,856 yards. 7, he set the single season record for receiving touchdowns with 23. And 8, he finished with 46 career touchdown receptions, which is the most by a Power 5 receiver in FBS history. And just a bonus for y'all too. He had the game winning catch against Georgia in the 2018 National Championship as a freshman. We'll never forget. And he's a Heisman Trophy winner, the first wide receiver to win this since Dez Howard in 1991. Now, I know a lot is being said about his size. I know there's doubts out there, but there's nothing that you can say to take away the production that he's had at the wide receiver position at his the entirety of his collegiate career. Devontae Smith has had great hands. He's shown speed, and he's a pure and smooth route runner. One of the purest and smoothest route runners that we've seen in a very long time. So while you guys are focusing on the size, let's look at, yes, he's smaller, but the production is still there. He still has the capability of exceeding and excelling in this league. And I think that we will see him do that. Now, a lot has been coming out about, you know, the Dolphins, who were sitting there with the 6th pick. They actually traded down from the 3rd pick. As we all know, that's owned by the 49ers now, but the Dolphins traded down to the 6th pick, so now they can address that with the wide receiver being a position being open right there. They could be the first team to take a wide receiver off the board, which I do think that they will. be the first team to take a wide receiver off the board. Now, the question is that going to be a Ja'Marr Chase or is that going to be a Devontae Smith? Me personally, I think a Devontae Smith I think it's a win-win regardless of who you go with. But I would more so think that they would look towards the Devontae Smith because he has that rapport and that camaraderie with Tua already. So if you pair him up with Tua, a guy who he came into Alabama with, they know each other. They have coexisted on the field together and they've had a lot of success. You pair those two up, you got instant connection on the field. Now, like I said, Ja'Marr Chase, it's no loss if you take him as well. But me personally, I think if you pair two guys up that have already had that connection, have had that time in, and then you can incorporate some stuff that they did maybe at Alabama together, some routes that they're used to running together. You never know. You can do stuff like that when you have that connection that's already built. And there's not very many situations where we see an opportunity for this to happen in a draft, just a year apart. So I think that they should go after Smitty, man. I think that you got to give it a try. I wouldn't be mad if they didn't, but me personally, I think it would be a solid move to go with. And the general manager for the Dolphins, they've already said that, you know, they obviously do review things like that in their evaluation process, but I don't think that that's going to necessarily hinder them from drafting him. I think if they decide to draft Ja'Marr Chase, it's because they just maybe they saw a little something more that they liked in regards to his skill set. But size, unfortunately, does play a factor in these decision making processes, even if they're not really going to come out and say it. But for those of you who are questioning, can he be successful? Let's look at a guy that we can compare Devontae Smith to, a guy who's a similar size. And I'm talking about Marvin Harrison. So Marvin Harrison was 6 feet, 179 pounds. Obviously, he's way more than Devontae Smith, but 6 feet, 179 pounds, excuse me. And he is currently the Colts' all-time receiving leader with 14,580 yards. Yes, people, I said all that to say it can be done. It's very possible for him to come in this league and be successful at his size. So let's just pump the brakes. And then here's another thing that many people may not think about, too. Just because he's entering in the draft at this size, that doesn't mean that he's going to be that size at the start of the season. There's extensive workout programs. There's training in the NFL. They will put some mass on him and some weight on him just by the diet that he's going to be on and how much he's going to be working out in the gym. So, yes, right now he may be 166 pounds, but he can put on that weight fairly quickly, if you ask me, with the trainers that they have in the NFL. I think that they'll get him to a solid size in no time, and I think that he'll have some success in this league. So I'm not worried about him having success in the NFL. I think that we're going to get a lot of good years out of him. I think that we're going to see some great production out of him. And let's actually go to a poll. So I actually put a poll on our Twitter page, actually. So actually, before we go any further, make sure you guys follow our Twitter page. I'm on Twitter now. Follow at Time to Lace Up on Twitter. Again, that's at Time to Lace Up on Twitter. We'll be interacting with our listeners, our viewers, man, of our pages. Anybody who's following, man, I intend to make this interactive for you all. So I'll be posting different questions, different polls out there. Just want to hear you guys' feedback on what's going on in the sports world, and then we'll come on here and we'll talk about it. So let's talk about a poll that I put up. So I put up a poll on the Twitter page, and it says, Does Devontae Smith's size concern you heading into the NFL draft? So 100% of the people who voted in this poll said no. So 100% of our followers said no, the size does not concern them. So I'm not the only one, people, that, you know, feel this way about it. So, you know, like I said, I think that we're going to get some good production. And also, make sure, before I go any further, make sure you also follow us on follow me on my Instagram page. And that's at Lace Up Podcast on Instagram. Again, that's at Lace Up Podcast on Instagram. We're on Instagram and we're on Twitter, people. I'm expanding, trying to do some big things here, man. So follow, support, and repost. And before I go to another topic, before I go to my next topic, let's talk about two other polls that I put up here on the Twitter page. So I also asked this question here. Who would be a better fit for the 49ers, Mac Jones or Justin Fields? 67% of our voters in this poll said Justin Fields, and 33% said Mac Jones. So that's interesting there. I actually agree with this poll. I did come out and say that I felt like Justin Fields would be a better fit, but based off of the skill set that he has, being that mobile quarterback. So good to see that, you know, the fans agree with how I felt too. And of course, you know, Mac Jones is my boy, but you know, obviously I feel like Justin Fields gives Kyle Shanahan more. Last but not least, what should the Falcons do with the fourth pick in the draft? So our options were to draft the best available quarterback, draft a cornerback or O lineman, or trade down for more picks. 60% of the voters in this poll said draft the best available quarterback. Zero selected draft the cornerback or offensive lineman, and 40% selected trade down for more picks. And now, going back to what I said previously about the Atlanta Falcons, they do have a plethora of team needs in regards to the edge, offensive linemen. Their secondary is has a question mark behind it as well. And the quarterback, of course, they don't have a successor to Matt Ryan. Again, I feel like the best move here is to obviously take a quarterback, but I'm not confident that, as I've stated before, I'm not confident that the Falcons are going to pick a quarterback. Even though I feel like they should, I'm not too confident and too sold that they will. Reason being is they've already came out and said that they'd be willing to trade down from the fourth pick. So that's telling me that I'm not too confident at this point in time. I'm not saying that they won't do it, but I'm just not confident. So I'm thinking maybe they're going to trade down and address some other team needs in the draft, but which I would disagree with. I think, again, with you not having a true backup behind Matt Ryan, if something were to happen and Matt Ryan gets hurt, you would be in a world of trouble. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, are they going to, like I said before, is Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley taking QB2 snaps in practice? Are they throwing passes? Because that, you're going to need one of them. You're going to need somebody to come up and play quarterback. So I don't know what they're thinking about right now, but I would hope that they make the smart decision. Moving on, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, people. So Aaron Rodgers is in a situation in Green Bay right now where we don't know what's going to happen with his future and the Green Bay Packers. So the question here is, will Aaron Rodgers be in Green Bay playing for the Packers next year? Let's talk about the timeline here, okay? So the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, traded up four spots a year ago to draft Jordan Love in the first round of the draft. Since then, Rodgers has actually won his third career MVP, and he got the Packers to the NFC Championship game this past year with a 13-3 record. Now, after that, Rodgers has come out and said in the offseason that You know, he stated that his future with the Packers is uncertain. Now, interesting thing here, people, is the Packers have actually restructured contracts of six veterans to gain salary cap relief, but they have not touched Rodgers' deal or mentioned anything about it. They have not done anything with Aaron Rodgers' deal. Now, if the Packers move on from Rodgers after this season, they would actually save up to $25 million in cap space. Rodgers is currently under contract until 2023. Here's my problem. Their general manager has not gotten Rodgers any help, any serious help. Outside of Davante Adams, the Packers, they failed to get him any help at wide receiver. I mean, he's turning these unknown guys, these no-name receivers into stars literally by himself. With his level of play, he's elevating them. He is literally transforming these guys that we've never heard of into stars. I mean, Alan Lazard, who heard of Lazard before the NFL? I guarantee you nobody. Nobody. I mean, you sit there, you trade up four spots, you get Jordan Love. He doesn't play one meaningful snap last year as they go on to this 13-3 season, and Aaron Rodgers literally responds with the MVP season, one of his best that he's had. And so you draft Jordan Love and he's just chilling. You know, you could have had that opportunity to get another wide receiver to pair alongside Davante Adams, and they would have been in business. But they didn't do that. Of course, me being a Bears fan, don't care. I love it. I love it. Don't get a wide receiver. Please don't do it. I will take that any day of the week. I was happy when they did it in the draft. When they didn't take one and they traded up and got Jordan Love, I was like, cool, great. Because I just knew they were going to take a wide receiver. I just knew it. Aaron Rodgers has threw last year for 4,299 yards, which was seventh in the NFL. 48 touchdowns was first. 5 interceptions, which is tied for first. And he had an 84.4 QBR, which was first in the 2020 season. Now, do I feel like Aaron Rodgers will be in Green Bay next year? I don't. I think that the bridge is burned enough. It almost seems like no matter what happens going forward in this draft, it seems like Aaron Rodgers is going to want out. He's going to eventually ask to be traded. Now, there is maybe some hope. Maybe this draft will be the deciding factor on what he does. Will they be aggressive? Will they get a wide receiver or wide receivers to pair up with Davante Adams? Will they get him some help? But right now, with that friction that's between him and that front office, I it's hard for me to see him staying and finishing his career in Green Bay. It's very hard. You know, he's already felt some type of way when they took Jordan Love when he had been playing and elevating his game. Obviously, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you feel like you're still playing at a high level. Why not get him some help? You know, and they prove that, you know, obviously their eyes are set toward the future, you know. And we see this happen oftentimes when quarterbacks like this and that friction starts to build and they eventually want out. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is eventually going to ask to be traded, and he's going to go somewhere and he's going to be like, look, I told you so. I can still do this thing. I can still ball. You needed me. As cocky as that sounds, that's how it's going to be. But yeah, I'm not so confident that he'll be there at all. Now, who will he go to? That's up in the air. But I do know that whatever happens, if the Packers do decide to trade him, I think that they could get a lot of value back for him. you can obviously get a good bit of draft picks. But I think in this situation, Aaron Rodgers obviously has the leverage, man. Like he has that leverage with the fact that he had this MVP season and he led this team the way that he did. And ultimately it didn't come down to his decision of what they should have done on fourth down in the NFC Championship game, fourth and goal, with the game pretty much on the line at that point in time. It's a slap in the face, you know, and obviously he's tired. And any, you know, rightfully so. I get it completely. So I'm going to tell y'all like this again. I'm a Bears fan. Aaron Rodgers has been owning us for years outside of a few years back when we won the division. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers cooking my Bears. I'm tired of it. So if he left the division, I would be ecstatic. If he stayed in the division, please come to us. I'll take Aaron Rodgers. I'll take him in a heartbeat. Like, I just, y'all don't understand. I don't think you guys understand the stress that I've had to endure all these years. Literally, it's painful. Like, if you could see my face right now, the pain, I have pain in my eyes. It's painful to have to watch that twice a year, every year. Like, you know what? Let me move on, because I'm going to start thinking back on some just heartbreaking moments in these Bears Packers games. And I don't want to do that. So let's continue. Shall we? All right, so let's shift gears and talk about the NBA. So right now, currently in the NBA, who is the best player right now? So I'm going to tell you guys my answer. So right now, the best player in the NBA is Joel Embiid. Yes. Joel Embiid is the best player in the NBA right now. Now, obviously, you can make an argument for other players, Jokic, you know, whoever. But my MVP right now is Joel Embiid. I mean, we're talking about a guy, he's averaging 30 points and 11 rebounds, which is a career high. 38% from the three, which is also a career high. And last but not least, 51% from the field, which is also, you guessed it, a career high. Joel Embiid is absolutely elevated his game from last year to this year. I mean, he is elevated himself in playing in dominating. As Shaq said, he's playing the position the way that it's supposed to be played. And when you start getting praised by Shaquille O'Neal, you know you're doing something right. Let me just tell you some of his stats from some games this year. Y'all, listen to this. 37 and 11, 34 and 11, 37 and 5, 33 and 9, 25 and 17, 31 and 11, 50 and 17, 25 and 17, 42 and 13, 40 and 19, 39 and 13, 38 and 17. Now, are you kidding me? Do you hear that? That is absolute domination. He has been dominating at the center position. Now, he has missed 18 games this year, which that could, you know, whatever, if they decide to hold that against him. He missed 18 games with the injury that he had injury, which required him to have to sit out. But that doesn't take away from what he's done, his body of work this year. It doesn't take away from that, man. You can't look at Joel Embiid and say that he's not deserving of an MVP right now. You can't. And he's looking to become the first center to win the MVP since Shaq in 2000. Now, he's had the Sixers are currently first in the East. They're half game ahead of the Nets. And they actually have the fourth best record in the league. So, you know, I look at what Joel is doing and, you know, the questions that were surrounding him. And this is one thing that I've always said, you know, can he stay healthy? That was the biggest question mark surrounding surrounding Joel Embiid, you know, often questioned for his work ethic, whether or not he, you know, if he was lazy or not. You know, he's been caught these things, and we've seen him have games in the past where he has 30, 40 points, and then he follows that up with a dud and gives you like 8 points. Like, we were seeing the inconsistency, but now we're seeing consistency one game after another. It's amazing to watch it, man, and it's exciting to see, you know, him dominating as a center, you know, because like I said, we hadn't seen really anybody like going crazy like this since Shaq was doing it, man. Shaq was a beast. Joel Embiid is a beast. So yeah, man, right now, like I said, I think that he's my MVP. Hands down right now, I think that he's going to win it. But we'll see what happens. We know how things can turn out and shake out. So we'll see. But if I was voting, Joel Embiid, MVP. Let's move on and talk about a boxing match that has just been tentatively announced. So Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul are targeting a fight for June 6th in Miami. Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul, a famous YouTuber. Now, again, it's tentatively planned for June 5th, actually. Floyd Mayweather has stated that he's targeting June 6th as a return. And it's supposed to happen in Miami, people. So this is actually originally announced in December that Mayweather agreed to this exhibition with Paul. The fight was supposed to take place on February 20th, but it was actually postponed 2 weeks before. Now, Mayweather hasn't fought since his first TKO win over Tenshin Nakasawa in an exhibition bout on December 31st of 2018. Mayweather is 44 years old, actually retired with a 50-0 record following his victory over Conor McGregor in August of 2017, which was an exciting fight, man. Conor was trying to come out swinging, and then, man, Floyd got tired, man, and Floyd just whooped him up. Now, in this fight, Mayweather actually can't weigh more than 160 pounds, and Paul can't weigh more than 190. Paul is 6'2", and Mayweather is 5'8". Oh, man. Floyd is getting ready to wear, he's getting ready to wear this dude out, man. It's no contest. If you ask my opinion about it, Floyd is going to whoop him. Easy. 44 years old and all. Like, there's no doubt in my mind Floyd is going to win this fight. And he could very well win by knockout. His second win by knockout. I mean, there's no way. Paul, a.k.a. the Maverick. He calls himself the Maverick. He's 0-1. He's 0-1. He calls himself the Maverick. He's not beating Floyd. He's not beating Floyd. I'm sorry. People out there may hate Floyd, and obviously, you know, we know how Floyd is. He runs his mouth and he talks about all the money, and we all know money will get his attention in these situations, and he'll come out of retirement like he's doing right now to fight for money if the price is right. He said this before. Floyd Money Mayweather he's gonna beat him so bad. Like, it's just, I don't see this even being a good fight at all. I'm gonna watch it. Obviously, I'm gonna watch it. But Floyd's not gonna let, he didn't let a UFC superstar, Conor McGregor, beat him. And there's no way he's gonna let a YouTuber and a podcaster beat him. There's no way. So I'm taking Floyd all the way. If you bet against Floyd, I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize in advance because I don't know what you were thinking. But you go right ahead and bet on the Maverick, who's 0-1, versus Floyd, who's 50-0. Do what you got to do. I'm taking Floyd. But hey, we'll see what happens. But hey, man, that's all I have for y'all. Again, I appreciate everybody jumping in. As always, give me some of your time. Give you some good, healthy sports talk. Before I go again, don't forget, follow my page on Twitter at Time to Lace Up. Follow my page on Instagram at Lace Up Podcast. I'm going to give you guys some great stuff. Keep rocking with me. Keep tuning in. Keep sharing, posting, commenting, rating the shows. Man, I appreciate all the love and support. As always, be blessed. I'll be back. Peace.